John 20, verse 19 to verse 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sheila, thank you very much for reading that passage to us. In the church, this Sunday is known as Low Sunday. I don't think it's called that because of any post-resurrection party hangover or any come-down-from-chocolate overdose, or even because the numbers of people attending church are perhaps a little bit down as families are still away on holiday. It actually probably is the called that because it signifies, if you like, the end of the eight-day period of Easter, from Easter Sunday onwards. And I was thinking, as Milan was praying also, that maybe it's a low Sunday in Richard's Church in Bath. And I do encourage you to pray for his congregation as they come to terms with the news that their much-loved and very popular vicar is going to be leaving them. Difficult announcements to have to make on Easter Sunday when everything is meant to be one of celebration. Traditionally, on Low Sunday, we have the reading that we've just heard from John's Gospel, chapter 20. And it's the second part, the second half of the chapter which has in it the accounts of Jesus meeting up again after the resurrection. And on this occasion, we have the two meetings that take place with the disciples in the locked room. In one case, the meeting when Thomas was not present, and in the second, the encounter in the same room 1 week later when Thomas was there. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time this morning just thinking about those two encounters. As Sheila said, if you've got a Bible and you want to have it open, it's page 1089, John's Gospel, chapter 20, from 19 onwards. We have, in this account, two episodes. In the first episode, we've got a locked room, an evening, and the disciples are up there by themselves. This group of frightened, confused people holed up in a room, keeping their heads down. What were they afraid of? Well, perhaps they were afraid, I think, of three things. They were afraid, first of all, of their present situation. They were in a hostile, tension-filled city. And what was going on around them was not going to fill them with comfort. It was probably going to fill them with alarm. These disciples had been with Jesus. Jesus was now not there. Maybe. But they probably felt like wanted men. They were scared and confused by events. Where was Jesus? Where was his body? They knew it wasn't in the tomb, but the rest? Well, was he alive? Was he dead? Did Mary really see him? Did Peter and others actually see an empty tomb? What was going on? And then probably they were most scared for their futures. This diverse group of men who had given up their traditional ways of life to spend important years of that life following Jesus. What now? The disciples were too scared to leave the room they were in, let alone go out into the world and face the future. And if we read from verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the others locked in the room for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The account that we have there effectively tackles each of the three fears that they had. It tackles, first of all, their fear for what was going on. Peace be with you. These four words address the fear of the present situation and their present location. Don't be afraid. I'm in this place with you. I'm with you. I'm one of you. Secondly, he showed them his scars. Jesus takes their anxiety and confusion about the events of the past days. What has happened. Here's the proof. I was dead. I was killed. I did die. And now I'm alive. Understandably, the disciples responded by being overjoyed when they saw it. that picture answered their question. And then thirdly, Jesus took their fear for the future. As the Father has sent me, it goes on, I am sending you. And by breathing on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Effectively, Jesus saying, the job's not done. Don't think that now I've gone and I've come back, that's it, that's the end of the story. Go back to fishing or whatever you did. Absolutely not. Jesus said the job wasn't done. You're to go on. There's a lot to be done. And moreover, I give you my Spirit to go with you. So three fears. Fear of what's going on, fear about their future, fear about the events of the present, answered with an encouragement to go further. And Thomas missed it. He wasn't there. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when friends come back from events or things which maybe you could have been at but you weren't, and they're full of how great it was, you feel a bit disappointed, a bit miffed, and you almost want to say, well, I'm really glad you had a great time, but I'm not. I actually probably would have felt a bit better if you had a rubbish time, because I would have felt justified in not being there. That's what goes on inside our heads sometimes, that sort of confusing business. Thomas missed it. But I'm thinking, why? Why did Thomas miss that event? Not in the sense of, well, where was he doing what? But because I believe that what's recounted in Scripture, what happens in the Gospels, happens for a purpose. It's more not why wasn't he there, but why is it important for us to read that he wasn't there and to read the next bit? What's the point of Thomas not being there? Do you understand? I think that's really important. Why did Thomas miss it? So I don't really mind whether Thomas was shoeing a horse somewhere or Thomas was holed up on his own somewhere. What I want to know is, why was it important that Thomas missed it? And I think the clue comes in what did happen. Let's explain, reading from verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. And they said, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in the scars, I would not believe. And he goes on. And then we come to another occasion. 1 week later, we are, if you like, now, today. All we've done so far was last Sunday. Now we are today, 1 week later. And it says, 1 week later, they were in the house and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your hand in my side, reach out your hand, put it in my side, and stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now we've all heard of Thomas described as doubting Thomas. And it's from that little episode there that we get that description of him. And I think through the thousands of years that have happened since then, Thomas has always been thought of as that disciple who wasn't quite as good as the others because he had this doubt. And I don't know that I would necessarily go along with that. We don't know very much about him. Let's hear a little bit more. In the other Gospels, Thomas is only mentioned when the disciples are ever listed by name, sort of on the team sheet. But he doesn't play an important part. And indeed, in John's Gospel, he actually occurs four times. This episode is the third of the accounts, including Thomas. The fourth one is just in the next chapter, when, again, he is referred to. But I don't want to steal what Helen's going to talk about next week, in case she mentions him. Okay, the other two are earlier events. Okay, he's mentioned first of all in John 11, which is the account when Jesus and the disciples are told of the death of Lazarus. And Jesus wants to go and visit Lazarus, even though he's dead. And the disciples, at least most of them, say, no, you don't. There's no point in you going now because it's too late anyway. And where Lazarus is quite a dangerous place to be. You're going close to Jerusalem. And Thomas is the one who says, well, actually, if you want to go, I'll go with you. I'm happy to go along with you and to go there. To me, that doesn't come across as the statement of a doubting man. If Thomas was a doubting man, he'd probably have gone along with the others and said, oh, absolutely, I agree. I'm far too dangerous, Jesus. Let's stay here. You don't know what's going to happen. But Thomas is one who says, actually, it's okay. I'm going to go there with you. And as I say, he's the vanguard of and ready to go to be there. This is the Thomas of commitment, a Thomas of loyalty, a Thomas of certainty. Then again, we meet him in John 14. Okay, this is a passage where describing the conversations after the Last Supper, when Jesus is telling the disciples that they shouldn't be troubled. And Jesus already knows what he's going to have to face. And he describes events to them. And the rest of the disciples sort of just sit there at this meal and just nod along. Now, I don't know why they just nod along. Maybe they're just a bit hot and bothered and tired. I think actually it's probably the easiest thing to do is just to go along with Jesus by now. Whether they say, don't really understand what Jesus is talking about, actually, but I'll pretend I do. Okay? Not Thomas. Thomas actually questions Jesus and says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? As if to say to Jesus, look, I'm happy to go along with you, Jesus, but I just need a little bit more information. I need to know what you're doing. And that question by Thomas leads to Jesus saying one of the most, if you like, well-known, famous things Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And to me, that's a man who is saying not, I'm happy to go along with things, but a man who says, I am happy to go along with things, but please can I just have it precise? And if we're honest, loads of us are like that. Some of us are not risk averse at all. I don't suppose there are too many people here, if they came to the edge of a cliff and somebody said, walk off it, you'll be fine. We'd say, okay, I'll go, see ya. Most of us would want to know circumstances. And I think Thomas is one of those sort of men. And I think Thomas can be an example to us of that. A man who is prepared to follow, but equally a man who requires some sort of reassurance of things and an example to us of that. And then, of course, we meet Thomas again in the episode that was in our reading. And this idea that he wasn't there. And we have this picture of a man who doubts. Well, so now a week later, he's told everything has happened. He's told about the presence of Jesus. He's told about the power of Jesus. He's told about their elation, how pleased and chuffed they were to see Jesus. He's told about how Jesus blessed them. And he's told about the gift of the Holy Spirit on them. And all these things happened when Jesus was there. And Thomas says, well, I've missed it. How would we feel if that had happened? I think we'd feel, as I said, like Thomas does, very, very disappointed. And we go on. And having given years of your life to following Jesus, to have missed out on that one occasion, I think would have been a desperate thing. And I can fully understand Thomas saying, well, I find it really hard to believe you. Because it's almost too much for me to just believe. And he says that not to Jesus. He doesn't say to Jesus, I don't believe you. He says to the disciples, I don't believe you. And I feel that in Thomas, we have a man who is hugely like us. And somebody that we can take heart in, take heart in how he is. And so Jesus appeared to him. And Thomas, he spoke to him. Essentially, Jesus said the same things that he said a week earlier. And he gave a repeat of the events, but this time with Thomas there. And Thomas didn't need to touch. He didn't need to put his fingers in. He said, my Lord and my God, as soon as he had heard Jesus speak. So rather than being a doubting Thomas, can we take away from this account this idea of a man who just needs to know things? And he's quite prepared to ask questions, not just to go along with things. He's really committed. He's prepared to take risks and to get alongside Jesus. And I feel that Thomas is a man who has been, if not misnamed, certainly sometimes misrepresented. So why wasn't he there that first time? Why wasn't Thomas there? Because I think he completes, if you like, the quartet, the four groups of people that the resurrection accounts in John chapter 20 provide for us. Now, before our reading began, there'd been two others. Of course, there'd been the reference to Peter and others charging into an empty tomb. If you like, the impetuous people, the people who go at it, whatever. Some of us are like that. Doesn't matter the risks, we'll just go ahead. And Jesus finds a way of showing his resurrection to those people. And then there's the account of Mary. And Mary desperately wanting Jesus to be there. And the account of Mary and the gardener, who she then heard. and said, Rabboni, my special teacher. And there are plenty of us like that. We need to feel Jesus' love. We need to know. Then there's the account, the first part this morning, of all the disciples together. No names are mentioned. It just says the disciples. Those people amongst us who are happier in a crowd. We go along with the rest. And if we feel secure in that number of people, we will do what we all do. And then fourthly and finally, there was Thomas. The one who just needed to know a little bit more. Who was prepared to ask the difficult questions sometimes to have his ideas clear. One chapter, four accounts, four different groups of people. Perhaps we can think, why wasn't Thomas there the first time? Because Thomas demonstrates a different type of thing. And it's like the gospel writer is saying, I want to communicate that Jesus died and rose again for all types of people, not just for one type or another type. He rose for the impetuous ones in a hurry. He rose for the ones who need to feel loved and yet feel very insecure. He rose for the ones who are just in a crowd and are happy to be in a crowd and feel safety in numbers. And he rose for the ones who have uncertainties but are prepared to ask questions and think about things and find their way to the heart through the head. I think that's why Thomas wasn't there. Because he's just one of us, but a different one of us from the other guys. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think to all of them, essentially, Jesus says the same thing. And this is the challenge. Whether you want to be in a crowd, whether you want to feel love, whether you're impetuous, or whether you have uncertainties, Jesus essentially says, I died, I have risen, in that knowledge be at peace. But don't let it stop there. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. So with our knowledge, and with our peace, and with the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not good enough to sit in a locked room, in a little huddle, and just be together. No. It goes on. And on this low Sunday, when actually we could be low just because of the state of the world that we go out into, Jesus is saying through these gospel accounts, get out there. If you need to ask a little bit more, ask. Thomas did. It's all right to ask. If you want to go and dash out there full of energy and enthusiasm, go on. Peter did. If you feel insecure and you just want to be loved, walk out timidly and gently. You'll find your teacher out there with you. And if you struggle to be just one person bravely going out where no man has gone before, where did I get that from? Go out in a group. But go out in peace. Go out with the Spirit. But go. And do something about what you now know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Sunday, when we've heard about your resurrection, and we know of your Spirit and your gift and challenge of life ahead. Please empower us to get up and go out there, to be the people that you have created and to be the people that you have instructed to have peace. May we go and do what you want, where you want it, in your Spirit. Amen.